Jack and Mel weigh in.
Final round. Fight!
Hello and welcome to the Super Rad MMA Show. I am Jack Aaron Stoops, as always, joined by my brother Mel Brown. Today we are joined on the podcast by the wonderful Josh Emmett, probably the hardest hitting F-145er. What do you reckon?
I think that's very safe.
Yeah. We obviously, unfortunately, going to have to talk loads about coronavirus, but all relevant. Things are a bit chaotic in the UFC, so without further ado, let's get into it. So we were together at the weekend watching the UFC in spite of
huddled together in fear in the dark.
Yeah, it's getting bad here.
Sort of isn't it, isn't
it? It's more the like the hysteria.
The hysteria is worse than what's actually happening.
But like, I don't know anyone that has it.
You probably do.
Well, I'm sick at the minute. I could have it.
Oh shit.
I know. Mine's just a cold, but I think that's probably what that's most people that have coronavirus say.
As we said, that's kind of it, unless you're old and have a respiratory illness, isn't it?
Or the diabetes. I actually said to Lady Mel, my missus, to those who don't know, she is also a Mel.
No, she's a Melissa.
Yeah, but she goes by Mel, but yeah. It's very confusing calling out your name in bed.
Yeah. That's why it's probably best to stick to Melissa.
Yeah, absolutely. Hates that, though.
Well, that's tough shit. My name's actually Mel. That's not true. Short for anything. I'm that angry I just knocked over a can.
Yeah. So, what was I going to say?
Something about diabetes.
Oh, yeah. So I was talking to her
always
the other day.
Always with the diabetes.
I know, right? So I was talking to her the other day about it, and I was like, do you know 7.3% of people with diabetes that get coronavirus die? And she went, and I said, but that's a 93% survival rate nearly. And she went, it's nearly 10% though. Like,
that's a nice, let's round those death figures up to a nice round number.
Gee, thanks. Like, yeah, 1 in 10. So fingers crossed that this isn't the coronavirus. But
if this is your last podcast, you had a good run.
It was a good run. Who would you replace me with?
I don't know. I'd have to find another Jack, wouldn't I?
Kind of.
So if you're out there and you're in the MMA and your name's Jack,
do you want to put an application in? Yeah, just on the off chance.
Yeah, just shoot us some.
Supping on some Cherry Zero Coke.
Cherry Coke is great. Most flavoured Cokes are great.
I particularly enjoy the vanilla one.
Vanilla.
Cherry. I didn't like the peach one so much.
Cinnamon?
Oh, the Christmas one they released? Yeah, it was dope. But it just tasted like cola.
Yeah, I'm not too mad about like when they did the Diet Coke with a bit of lemon in it.
The twist,
or whatever they call it.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you drink Diet Coke, now I say this, I have some Diet Coke sitting beside me, but it's the no caffeine one.
That's the gold one.
Yeah, but fuck Diet Coke when it comes to Coke Zero. Coke Zero is infinitely better than Diet Coke.
Yeah, Diet Coke's just marketed to horny women who work in offices, by the way.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Which is really weird.
I don't want you.
Some ripped guy in the elevator coming to, I don't know, pump you and, you and give you a Diet Coke once he's done.
Yeah, the old one. What was it? Was it a builder on a roof or something with a sledgehammer? And all the office women were like, "But you wouldn't get away with that now."
You wouldn't get away with it if it was the other way around.
There's so many adverts you wouldn't get away with.
But imagine if it was a bunch of middle-aged horny men in an office.
Yeah, just a woman builder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
It's weird that Diet Coke, so we're like, that's the route we're going to take.
Yeah, we've had meetings about it, and this is the way that we've decided we want to
Diet
market
Coke
our brand.
Diet Coke is Lady Coke.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was initially like one of the things with when they brought Coke Zero in,
because
the marketing.
Health conscious tends to be marketed at women.
But Coke Zero's initial marketing was all like stupid action movie shit, like explosion stuff. It was meant to sort of get men back around to zero calorie.
Keanu Reeves was in a Coke advert years ago. That's one of the most random things you'll ever see, because he was in a bike race. Like, his dad's at the side of it being like, go on, Jimmy, you know, you can do it. And he comes like second and he gets a Coke anyway. And you're like, what the fuck's the point in this advert?
That'd be awful. Imagine like finishing a marathon, someone hands you a Coke.
I don't know. I think, do you know, one of the things about being diabetic that...
I suppose you get that sugar hit straight away.
See, this is what I was going to say. Is one of the things that I think very, very few people, apart from maybe those who are diabetic or have other conditions that maybe cause something similar, there is nothing like when your bloods go low... Yeah. And your body is literally telling you, I need sugar. Like, I need sugar bad, big.
Just get a Coke in you.
See, what, like an ice cold Coke.
Oh,
like the advert Coke with the like condensation tin. Oh, it is.
Do you drink it, you know, that dramatic way?
Yeah,
where it's like 6 inches from your face. Oh. Yeah, they're always the big.
Yeah, 100%. But you can't not whenever
it's the tin opening sound. The
Yeah. No, it's great.
I don't know how people drink, like, I was going to say normal, full fat Coke.
When I have it now, I'm like, fucking
I used
hell,
to. So like, much sugar. Yeah, and you can nearly, like, feel the granules of sugar.
It's
hard going.
Well, before I got diagnosed diabetic, I was drinking between 2 and 4 liters of Coke a day.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
You're not, like, constantly burping.
I was constantly fat.
And going blind.
But the thing is, before anyone judges me about the diabetes thing, like, I have...
You've thrown it out there.
No, but I have...
I was drinking 4 liters of Coke a day.
But I have type 1, which isn't caused by diet.
Well, that's all right, because you were well on your way to type
100%, 2. 100%. That's the thing.
You were getting it regardless.
I'm almost lucky that I got type 1, because I like if it was type 2, it would have been 100% my fault.
Yeah.
I don't know how... When I drink, because now, like, it's literally a medical emergency for me.
I only ever have it if I'm having it with as a mixer.
Get the fuck out of here with mixers. If you drink it spirits, just do it the right way.
Oh, yeah, but sometimes just like a wee bit of sweetness in there as well.
Yeah, it depends. Like, I mean, I would drink, well, obviously, no one's drinking neat vodka, I wouldn't have thought. Jeez. I mean, there's people that do, but as in,
I've never enjoyed vodka at all. I've never found a combination or a cocktail or. Anything with it in it where I'm like, oh, that's, I like that.
I'm like an Irish stereotype. Give me a Guinness and a whiskey to chase it.
I like whiskey, rum. Rum's okay.
I would put mixer and rum though.
Yeah, but that's
rum,
what I mean.
And Fanta or rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke, that's what I mean. Yeah. If you've got a nice whiskey, do not sully it by putting Coke in it.
But I don't like Irish whiskey. I like scotch, but I also don't like peated scotch. I like unpeated scotch,
which is rare.
Yeah. It's like drinking a bonfire.
Yeah, exactly.
No, just have a cigarette then.
Just have a cigarette. That doesn't do it for you. Just do some heroin.
Just fucking smoke it, right? So you were watching the fights the weekend anyway. Some really, really fucking odd moments in this card. Some weird shit. Obviously happened in front of zero audience, which I thought would have been weirder than it was.
It just felt like everything was the first prelim of the night.
Yeah. But even the noise sounded like the prelim.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, hey, woo,
Hoop-ah!
From the corners, you know, Hoop-ah! Like, yeah, it was odd.
You realize just how little technical advice is shouted out sometimes. It's just lots of whooping and
I would
hollering.
Be furious if I was a fighter getting advice.
I think
that's
trying to influence the judges. So, like, everything you do is really, like, you're ramping it up.
Mm.
That's the only reason I can think.
Yeah, but even at that.
Yeah, if I was fighting, I'd much rather have technical advice. But I suppose that's... How much can you really implement in the cage? You know, you shouldn't.
Yeah, but
it's,
I mean,
hard to take it in.
It depends. Like, I mean, if you're the one winning the fight, I can understand them just, you know, doing
like
that
I can
to
only
an extent.
From,
but like,
when we were, well, I can only speak for myself. I only ever remember like one or two things from the whole round being shouted out.
I remember quite a bit from the corner, but I couldn't hear anything else other than the corner.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything else but the corner, but I remember, well, the one or two things, maybe it was only the one or two things I was able to actually, like, implement after hearing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
But, you know, the card was weird, lots of decisions, just to make it even...
Tell you one thing it's cemented for me is, Rani Yaha needs to fucking shave that dome.
He does. There is a point in, well, not every man's life, but the majority of us, when it just gets too thin to save on top, when brushing it over, you know, slicking it back is obvious. You're still seeing too much scalp through that. You got to let it go.
I'm dreading.
Do you think you will? You've got a good head of hair now.
Yeah, I think I'm receding a bit, but like I think everyone does. I don't know because my grandas on both sides weren't bald. No one in my family's bald. My dad's thin, but he's not bald.
No, he's not bald. See, my dad's side of the family, or my dad still has a little bit of hair, but my granda on his side is bald and apparently has been since, you know.
Since he was 12.
Yeah, like that. Just came out bald and stayed bald.
It's funny, it's
but
one
my
of those...
granddad on my mum's side is 90. Yeah, he's 90 with a full head of hair. Now, I have a good head of hair, but I have also noticed, like, it's at the corners.
Yeah, it's just, with that widow's peak.
The widow's peak, it's just creeping back
it's
ever
just so
slightly.
The horns can start to
yeah.
To come
but
to
I'm
fruition.
All right because my younger brother is definitely getting thinner hair than me, so I can hold on.
Well, you've
that.
Lasted longer than he's going
exactly,
to.
Exactly, yeah.
You win, ultimately.
Ultimately, yeah. Plus he's a redhead.
It is a... He's nothing going for him at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, just got the double bitch slap from life there. Yeah, it's a... Bald ginger.
It's a weird thing, like, but anyway, we should probably talk some more about the UFC. Marnie Munroz, I called this just before. I said I was really tempted to bet on an underdog. Beat Maria Bueno Silva. That was a great performance. Amanda Ribas looked fucking
yeah, she looked
excellent.
Great.
And Randa Marcos, I was just looking at her record.
You win some, you lose
win,
some.
Lose.
She's the definition
win,
of that.
Lose, yeah. Win, lose. But I think the sport almost needs people like that. Do you know, like...
The world needs ditch diggers.
Yeah, to quote our friend Andy Burrows, yeah. Brandon Moreno looked impressive against Formiga. I had it scored for Formiga, though.
Same. That back take. Ooh,
oh, in the first round?
Yeah.
Yeah, into the mount.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Back, up kick, into a back take, into the mount.
I was actually talking to, just see if I can find the username. Yeah, it was Snowdragon. We've been talking quite a lot on Twitter, and it's at Snowdragon _. And we were talking about the women's fights, because the first women's fight on that card was absolute gash. And I was sort of saying
yeah,
that, like, it's a weird one because the standard of women's MMA is higher than it's ever been, but the divisions are super thin.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it is, it's like the equivalent of when MMA, I don't like saying men's MMA because, you know, it's just MMA now, but, you know, when it was first out and it was
yeah.
just men, it's when you look at how shit those guys are in comparison, like imagine what would happen to Royce Gracie.
It's the
now.
It's the physical and athletic side of it as well, because it was Macedo. Like she was so badly gassed from about, I don't know,
round
minute into the second round, and like it was so bad you could have understandably seen a stoppage for it.
Yeah.
She was just,
there was a couple of times where I think we were calling for
yeah. She was just flopping on the ground and not getting up again and just literally taking shots out of exhaustion. Wasn't a great fight, but yeah, it's a valid point.
I mean, it's just going to take time for the numbers to catch up. More and more women are taking part in the sport. But then it's funny because then you get the contrast of last week where you had ultimately the pinnacle of women's MMA.
But would you rather see less women's
yes.
MMA fights in the UFC? Yeah. But
yes, in the meantime,
standard. Yeah,
and until there is the depth that the male sport has. But at the same time, you know, I guess...
Will there ever be, though? Because the...
Yes, yeah, there will. I mean, more men will do the sport.
That's what
I mean.
Like,
I would imagine
the numbers involved will be...
Yeah, but there's less divisions, though.
True.
You know, so I think it'll even out. You know, you'll have two, possibly three if they keep 45. You know, you'll have two or possibly three divisions that are stacked. Because
yeah.
they have to be. You know,
yeah,
as we're
yeah,
with men, they're spread across, you know, what, 8 weight divisions or something?
Yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
a fair point.
So, like, although I believe more women or less women will do the sport overall.
Yeah, there's less weight divisions to spread them across.
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah.
So, the other fights that were worth talking about, I suppose, onto the main card, were Francisco Trinaldo coming away with a decision win. Impressive. We both sort of called this, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was always going to happen. McDessie's tough enough to hang in there. Trinaldo's just better and gnarlier.
Johnny Walker and Nikita Krylov. Krylov got a round three.
You know what?
Three-round decision.
We've really been not overhyping Walker, but underselling Krylov. Like, since he's come back to the UFC, he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, this is not a surprising result. But Johnny Walker's a big personality. People want them to be great. And I think, you know, he still could be. I think he's a long way to go. But it just seems that if he can't get rid of you with something mad early, he's there for the taking. Against people like Krylov, you know, really well-rounded fighters. And Krylov looked the biggest I can remember seeing him.
Yeah.
And was able to front up to him physically. So
he looked great. Really good performance. Johnny Walker, I mean, I think we sort of said this.
He had his moments, but it was in the third.
When he got swept.
Yeah, where he got the mount and just gave it up. Well, you know.
Well, he did.
He gave it up, but he gave it up because he was just shagged. He just couldn't even hold the mount, you know.
He is an interesting cat. Really, really like him. A lot of time for him. Great fighter. But it's just, there's pieces missing there that I think will need adapted. And I think he looked a little bit...
If I was him, I know he's just went to TriStar, which is obviously a great place to be. Do you think AKA is the perfect place for him?
Just go and get wrestled.
Wrestled with monsters, yeah.
Because his takedown defense looked great until he seemed to get tired.
Is he...
too big?
Johnny Walker at heavyweight, is that where we should be seeing him?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he weighs.
He looked every bit of 220. Easy.
But is he, though?
See, he's got a massive frame, but he could be bigger. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
He could be a really, really freak athletic 235.
Does he have the chin support?
Well, is the chin compromised by cutting piles of weight to get
Does he cut piles of weight, though? We don't know this.
I don't know. I would imagine so. I think he's fought a heavyweight before, regionally. I don't know. With a guy,
I hate it.
With a guy that big, with a gas tank issue as well.
Yeah, how much of that is from the cut?
Yeah. I think going forward, I'd like to see him at heavyweight. I don't think it'll happen. Well, maybe not immediately. But, I mean, I suppose it is a hype train, is well and truly derailed now. You know, people were talking about him fighting John Jones and stuff down the line. That now seems... But the problem is, even when this happens, he's still super dangerous at the start. But Krylov just negated that.
He looked great.
And Krylov wobbled him on the feet.
Yes.
So...
It's a tough spot for Johnny Walker. I think we need to see him take a step down rankings.
He needs to take a step down or, like I said, I think move up to heavyweight. But I don't know. I think because he's such a personality, people want him further along than he is. He could still get there because he's still young, especially for the heavier divisions. But he's already had some bad knockout losses.
The Corey Anderson one.
Well, I can't remember who it was, but there was a really bad one on the regional scene where it seemed like he got knocked out about four times in the one fight.
Well, I mean, he certainly can take time. You know, he's young enough that he can recover from this. I really like him. Hope to see him back. But Krylov, you know, we did say on the podcast last week that it was going to go one of two ways. Johnny Walker would spark him or Krylov was just going to grapple the fuck out of him. I was talking to someone on Twitter. I felt terrible for him. He put up this bet. And it was, you know, like, I can't remember who it was, but it was, you know, this person. And then Johnny Walker and Krylov not to go the distance at 1-6. And I messaged him and I was like, that's probably not a smart bet. What are the odds without it? And he was like, oh, it doesn't make too much of a difference taking it out. And he was like, but I'm certain. And I respond to him, and I was like, I wouldn't be. I was like, I could genuinely see this being one mental round and then two rounds of nothing, which is...
It wasn't two rounds
not
of
nothing,
nothing
but you know what I'm saying is, like, as in there wasn't also any imminent danger, I don't think, for the two rounds, you know, like, because the first round was a round of absolute chaos. And then it was two rounds of dominance, but I don't think there was any real risk of the fight getting stopped at any point, really, was there?
No.
I think it was all in the first, that. But, you know, it doesn't matter. The point was, like, don't put bets on things that you think are certs with odds like that. It's fucking pointless. I've been stung by that. Everyone has, but pointless. But anyway, all the best to Johnny Walker. Someone would love to have on the show, actually. Love to talk to him.
Yeah.
So, Hanato Moicano and Damir Hadjovic next submitted Hadjovic 44 seconds into the round.
And then got pissed about it.
Yeah, started getting angry. Now, it turns out that... So, again, at Snowdragon _ tweeted saying that it's like Moicano is angry because he fought and his wife and kids weren't there. Or no, he's angry at his wife and kids.
He's angry because he now has a wife and a new child.
That's it, yeah.
But that's how it seemed. He was asked why he was so angry and his answer was like, I have a wife, I have a new son called Isaac.
Yeah, yeah. But it turned out that the conversation was him saying, I wanted to fight more. And Hadjovic said, why'd you submit me then? Which is like, you couldn't make that up.
Nah, it's ridiculous.
It's like a Monty Python skit.
Hadjovic was like, straight away, we'll do a rematch in Copenhagen. Moy Khan was like,
nope. Why the fuck would you rematch? Yeah. It's like, you just,
no thanks.
Just tapped you out in 45 seconds.
Yeah, oh yeah, I want a rematch of where you train out of. Yeah, dead on.
No, not a mission.
No.
Moy Khan looked great.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Hadjovic, tough as fuck.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a really stern test. Mm. And just absolutely buzzsawed through him. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a tough call. What do you do with Moicano next? I've seen people batting around the idea of Felder. Felder said he wants big fights.
Well, he called him out, didn't he?
Yeah, but I
Felder's
like that.
Not, Felder's not going to take that
He's not going to take it, but that
would
be a
great
fight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like the way that Moicano's done this. He's come from featherweight. He's taken someone outside the rankings. And then off the back of that, he can probably slot in roughly where he was or get a fight in and around where he was in featherweight.
Yeah.
I like that. Take a fight to show that you can make the weight. Obviously, you can if you were making the weight under, but you understand what I mean. If you win, then you pick your shot and you get someone within two or three places either way of where you were at the division below. You know, instead of doing what Aldo has done, for instance.
What about Gregor Gillespie?
I like Moicano, so I'm going to say no. But yes. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Although we're about to get onto it, but you all know the result by now. Kevin Lee?
I don't want to see Kevin Lee back for a while. And it sounds like he's not going to be, no. Which we'll talk about in a minute. But
who else?
Cerrone? Cerrone, Moicano would be fun.
Yeah. Iaquinta?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'd get on board with that.
Barbosa.
Oh no, he's in featherweight now. Yeah, there's a ton of options for him anyway, but stellar performance. Gilbert Burns, Damian Maia, and the co-main, we called this.
Oh yeah, I called this to a T.
Sparked Damian Maia out with a beautiful left hook. Beautiful.
Made some sweet dollars on this fight.
Yeah, you got the odds on that were crazy.
Yeah. 9-2.
That's mental.
No, it was more than that.
I thought it was 13-4.
Can't remember exactly. Just remember it was a fairly sizable return.
It was kind of predictable because now there was some that escape from
the argument. The argument against saying that was that Maia had only been finished once ever,
which is true.
Yeah, by Nate Marquardt a million years ago.
But that was also, I don't want to say lucky because it never is, but like
he flattened them. But the point is that's literally like. 11, 12 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
I just think Gilbert Burns at welterweight is a problem.
Oh, 100%.
Maia had his best position, had his back, and
he
got out.
Just popped out the back door. He's like, see ya!
Yeah, and then he can just throw on the feet with reckless abandon.
I think he's not worried at all.
No, but the way, like, his striking is very technical now. Like, you can tell he's obviously like working on it day and night with Henry Hooft, and that left hook was just money.
Beautiful.
And Maia was gone. Maia took it like a gentleman, like I would expect.
As he always does.
Very classy.
See, even when he commented on the stoppage, which I saw people giving shit for.
Oh,
fuck
no,
off, that stoppage was perfect.
I said to you at the time, you knew he was fucked because Burns just leant down, hand on each shin, and just pushed that aside.
Yeah.
Oh, like, Damian Maia's guard?
Yeah.
Pass.
I was just going to pass it for free.
He was gone.
He passed go, collected
$200. I honestly wouldn't have minded if he had stopped it before the follow-up shots. I wouldn't have been arguing about it.
No.
But I think it was
flattened them.
Oh, yeah. It was the right. I have absolutely nothing against that stoppage. That was perfect.
Gilbert Burns said after the fight, he's like, I didn't want to hit him again. I was like, well, you fucking fairly Donkey Konged on him after.
Don't
like,
make me kill you. Damian Maia calling for one last fight, which I like. I wish he had retired after Askren, said that last week.
Yep.
Diego Sanchez or Cowboy Cerrone?
Cowboy Cerrone. Sanchez is too easy for him.
Yeah, he would think so.
You'd imagine that fight ends.
I'm kind of okay with it.
I'm okay with it because it's two guys. But do you know what I'd be okay with it? If Diego goes out too.
He's not going to.
One absolutely for sure legend, and the other one would have been a legend.
I don't know where
he retired earlier.
Yeah, I don't know where Diego beats him.
Nowhere.
I think that ends with Diego snoozing.
Although, or it could look like the Masvidal Maia fight where he struggles to finish him, has him in all kinds of bother with grappling.
Oh yeah, it's either a dominant decision or he goes to sleep without tapping.
But but what I'm saying is I think that Diego's jiu-jitsu's good enough. Well, is it now with all this mad coaching nonsense?
But it's Damian Maia.
That's what I was going to say. Is it? Is Damian Maia? But I think, like, you know, Masvidal survived. And who do you favor as a grappler, Masvidal or Sanchez? It's MMA math, but you understand my point.
No, I would still think Maia, especially with a size advantage, would strangle him.
Yeah.
Would put him against the cage, single leg him.
You would think so.
Not really into cowboy in him as much.
No.
One, I mean, cowboy going back up to welterweight. And I don't know. Like, I like your idea. Like, if he's going to fight someone like that, make it someone who's also going out. I don't know. I think cowboy would know that probably ends really bad for him.
Mm. Yeah, because the surefire way to beat Maia cowboy is the top. Yeah,
Maia is a big welterweight as well.
He is. The main event, Kevin Lee, Charles Oliveira tapped him, which I think I said on the podcast was
We both went Lee.
he looked phenomenal. Charles Oliveira really, looked fucking awesome. Great. I have to acknowledge that I'm very biased because I do not like Kevin Lee at all. Yeah. Now, on Twitter, I've seen a lot of people being like, oh no, everyone's just shitting on Kevin Lee. I would like to point this out. I've been shitting on Kevin Lee since the fucking sun came up 10 years ago. Like, I don't like him. I've always said he was overrated. I said he was overrated before the Barbosa fight, after the Barbosa fight, after the Gregor fight. You know, I think
some people overrate him, but I think he's just a guy who's been pushed too quickly.
Yes and no. I mean, my issue with Kevin Lee is I don't particularly enjoy his attitude.
Which I don't get, because he's never really done anything.
I don't know. I just find him smug and arrogant and not in a quietly confident way, just in a bad way, you know? I mean, you put forward his win over Chiesa as, like, you know, because I said to you, I was like, right, well, who is good? His best wins, you know.
He's loads of good wins.
Yeah, Gregor Gillespie, which I'm not that impressed by. Because
it's Gregor Gillespie.
But we don't know anything about Gregor Gillespie yet.
Well, we know he's beaten every other human who he's fought.
True.
Or Kevin Lee, who smashed him.
But we don't know what level Gregor Gillespie is yet, because we know he's UFC caliber, but we don't know where he actually lies in the UFC, because, you know, the first time he faced a ranked opponent, that happened. Now, does that happen again, facing a high-ranked opponent? Probably not.
Gregor Gillespie handled Yancy Medeiros gives me...
Yeah.
Gives me faith that
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm saying that we don't know. Yeah. I believe that Gregor Gillespie is potentially as high as 5.
I think you're writing off a bunch... I'm just looking at Kevin Lee's record. I think you're writing off a bunch. Like, some of his wins are great.
Yeah, some of them are. But some of his losses are terrible. And, like...
The Charles Oliveira one is, like, the first guy who's not... Well, I suppose Leonardo Santos way back in the day, but he's the first one who isn't. Rafael Dos Anjos could be considered an all-time great. Ali Aquinta is a top, you know, perennial top five or in and around there. Mm-hmm. And Tony Ferguson is arguably the second best lightweight.
I said to you earlier on when we were having lunch, I think that Kevin Lee's problem is 100% mental. He's a choker.
I've said that to you before, yeah, I think... In those fights, he's looked for ways out. I didn't really get it this time. And just before we move on, people need to stop giving him shit for trying to continue to fight. He obviously got choked out, came back. Because, see, Masvidal like, fucking
cut. He needs cut.
Masvidal has turned into everything he supposedly
is. Do you know what he's turned into? Mm. Colby.
Close to it. He's just...
Minus the politics, he's Colby now.
He's just... I find him embarrassing now.
The day I started to find it weird was when he was wearing the dressing gown thing.
I can get Conor just... I think that was the most damage Conor could have done to him outside of
just
a fight.
Just ignored it.
He just looked like an absolute fool in the front row with his toy belt and his dressing gown.
It was funny. But Kevin Lee, I think he said he wants to take, you know, a couple of years out. I don't have any problem with that because he's young enough.
Heat of the moment, so we'll see if that happens. But I'm the same as... you, I think. And, well, I would like to see that.
Talk about that Diet Coke bit.
Ooh. Sorry. It's not as satisfying as it can.
No.
But he's still super, not super young, but he's still young. He's got lots of experience. I thought his striking looked like it had actually taken a step back in this fight.
Yeah.
But he has time. We were talking about earlier. Do I think he'll ever be a champion?
No.
No. But logically and in theory, on paper, he still could be. He sort of has the tools to. And he's young enough to turn it around.
Yeah, I mean...
Some time out probably wouldn't be bad.
No, that's my opinion.
Especially if he's having trouble making 55. You know, some time out to get his overall body weight down, just ever so slightly. Because he has made 55 fairly consistently. Mm-hmm. He's another prime example why they need 165 pound division.
We'll talk about what's
there
next.
Seems to be, of all the divisions, that seems to be the one where there seems
to be... Because there's the most people.
But that's what I mean. There's a pile of people who fit between 155 and 170.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big 15 pounds is a lot of weight, and there's a lot of people who are naturally in between.
It should be 163, though, or 162.5 or whatever.
Well, I think, like I've said this before, you probably have to scrap all existing weight divisions and do them every 10 pounds.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Rather than 15.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about...
Some are 10 and some are 15.
We're going to talk about what's next for DeBronx in the listener questions book, so we have a couple of questions about that. So... not a lot of news to talk about, but also a lot of news in a weird way. So
a whole lot of news about
one thing.
Not a lot happening.
So, first of all, Cage Warriors still going ahead, but going ahead in front of no audience. Fair enough. Nothing really to comment on.
See, they're putting a few of the UFC fights from London on it. The ones which are like exclusively European fighters.
Makes sense.
John Phillips' fight is on it now, I think.
Makes sense. Brave have cancelled 4 or 5 upcoming events, which also makes sense.
Bellator cancelled last minute on Friday.
Yeah, after the weight cut.
I was really annoyed about that. But the only thing which has since made me chill on that is they all got paid full, so they didn't cut weight for nothing.
Yeah, but even still, you could have done that.
Oh yeah, no, like they should have. Yeah, they should have called it off beforehand and still paid everyone. Well,
apparently.
The only saving grace of cutting weight is that like they did get paid their full amounts. So
apparently UFC London fighters aren't getting paid.
Doesn't surprise you.
So just before we talk about UFC London, Brian Ortega.
Didn't talk about this
last
week.
That guy.
Yeah.
So, well, we did. No, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. We just didn't talk about it because he hadn't made his apology.
Oh, right, okay.
So he then came out and said that he apologized and he slapped 3 people that night.
Ooh.
But it wasn't. It was the one person. But he's saying he slapped, I can't remember it, but it was like a shit talker, a musician.
Oh, right, okay.
A translator and an instigator. But he's not sorry for slapping the instigator, like saying that he was the 3 of those people.
Well, that
people.
Would be like you punching me and going, I punched a dude, I punched a husband, a father,
yeah.
and a friend,
yeah, yeah.
and I'm only upset about punching a friend.
But that's
it's
exactly...
Like, no, you still just punched a dude.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But the thing that annoyed me
was... I don't
was,
think I've ever seen a fighter as quickly lose fans like
no, well,
this.
I didn't... Like,
I know you weren't... I've
always disliked
I'm not
him.
Mad about him personally, but... I know lots of people are.
Do you know what it is?
He's been gone for so long as well, and this is like not how you really want to reintegrate into the public eye by slapping a translator.
I think I have a good intuition of when people are full of shit.
Okay.
When I don't buy something about them, and I think that's what my problem with Kevin Lee is, and it's the same problem I have with Ortega. I can't even tell you why exactly with Kevin Lee, but I just don't buy it. And okay. You're going to go, by what? I don't know.
Right.
Something, right? And okay. It's the same with him. The reason I never liked him is because I never bought the pretty boy, you know, I'm a nice guy. Here's me rolling with Henna at a kid's party camp and all.
Speaking of Henna.
Yeah, fuck Henna Gracie after that.
Yeah, that's a really bad PR move.
For someone who's built, and one of the people that got my partner into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was Henna Gracie because I showed her him and I think she... quite enjoyed a bit of the Henna. She loved watching his videos about, you know, here's what to expect when you start Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's such a good advocate for the sport. the bully proof program, where they showed, like, you know, kids who'd been bullied, took them in after a couple of weeks, were able to show, like, you know, they'd improved their confidence, their well-being. And then to come out and to not only forgive this, but to comment being like,
Slapping an instigator makes Ortega bullyproof.
Yeah, it's like no, Ortega, having a fucking black belt under you makes him pretty much bullyproof.
Being a top five fighter in the world makes him fairly bullyproof. Yeah.
Oh, people disagreed with me on Twitter, but I tweeted saying, if you're a trained fighter and a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and you're slapping someone who's of no threat to you, you're a bitch.
Yeah.
You're a bitch.
Yeah.
You can say what you want.
No. You are a bully.
Yeah, because you know people cannot fight back.
It's abusing your position of power. Like,
and I heard
it's sort of everything which martial arts is supposed to not be.
Yeah, 100%. So, Brian Ortega can
bitch of the week.
Fuck off. Yeah, bitch of the week.
Or dick of the day. I'm done dick of the day.
100%. And it's just so annoying because he has not only quickly lost a massive fan base, but, you know, per fucking Korean Zombie, one of the nicest guys, it seems.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, caught up in the middle of all this.
Could be completely lost in translation.
Well, at the end of the day, this is one of the things I love about UFC. They're going to fight.
Yeah, well, they need to now.
Oh, I think it's going to... I favor Korean Zombie from the get-go.
I think it's a close fight. I think, I've said this to you before, I think people write off Ortega because Holloway spanked him so bad.
That's not my problem with Ortega in terms of technically. My issue with Ortega is he's had a couple of fights that, right, so if you look at the Frankie Edgar fight, right?
Yeah.
He sparked out the ghost of Frankie Edgar. I think
he's the ghost of Frankie Edgar.
He is definitely not the... He's
the first guy to ever stop him with strikes.
Yeah, but he's...
So, I don't, like, I could buy that if Frankie had been stopped a bunch of times.
Yair Rodriguez did it.
Frankie Edgar beat the fuck out
of... Oh, sorry, no, it was the other way around. Yeah, you're right. My bad. But the thing is that then you saw...
With Brian Ortega is everyone's let him off the hook, and everyone thinks he's this honorable... Well, did think he was this honorable.
He's a gangster.
But not even that. He got popped for steroids.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago, was it not? Even still, but
2014, but still, it shows a mentality thing.
Yeah. Well, my problem is the Hinato Moicano fight, he was getting his shit pushed in, and then he...
I know you're going to go... I'm just looking at his record. A win's a win, man.
It is. I know, 100% it
is. I think he looked great. He absolutely mauled Cub Swanson. Beating Hinato Moicano is a great win, regardless of how it was going. Knocked out Clay Guida, Brandao, Thiago Tavares was a great win. Like,
but I think the problem is that when... This is my point.
He's lost to one human, and that human is Max Holloway.
Yes, but the Hinato Moicano fight is the one that makes me sort of... That is the level... Like Korean Zombie is the Max Holloway level, not the Hinato Moicano level. And Hinato Moicano was beating him. I'm not saying that Zombie and Holloway are equal. They're definitely not. But what I'm saying is it's the upper echelon. Moicano was the sort of in and around five.
Still a top five.
Yeah, no, it is. But that's my point. He was beating him until he wasn't. And yeah, and I mean, a win's a win. But yeah, you have to put. You can't be like, I don't put stock in the first, you know.
He finished him. That's like, you know, like,
yes, but
you're a big Stipe fan. DC was battering him, but he pulled it out and beat him.
Yeah,
discredit that.
No, but it's not discrediting the win. But
you're discrediting his...
Because going into the next fight, of course I'm going to look at how the first fight went and say, look, if the first 15 minutes go the way the first, you know, 12 to 15 minutes went in the Stipe fight, like, I'm not an idiot. Like, what I'm saying is that, yeah, of course you can look at the first 12 minutes of a 15-minute fight and say, it didn't go great for you, and yes, you found a way to get the win, and I'm not trying to take his win away, but what I'm saying is there is definitely ways, there is paths to victory that you can see from watching that fight. Of course you can look at what happened
I just think you're discrediting his overall ability based on a fight he won.
But I'm not. I'm saying that I've seen path to victory through that, and I don't believe that Cub Swanson is good enough to do it. Frankie Edgar got sparked out quickly, which was impressive, to be fair, but that was within, 15-odd seconds of a fight?
Something like that.
But, you know...
It was in the first round, anyway.
the point I'm making is that that's why I think that the Korean zombie fight's so interesting, because I think that Korean zombie has a tremendous advantage.
I don't think he has a
tremendous advantage in what? On the feet.
Ortega's pretty tasty on the feet as well.
He's got pretty snappy boxing.
Yeah.
But I think that, well, we're going to find
Korean
out.
Korean zombie is more of a, you know, he's quite a boxing heavy guy.
He is. I just think he's better.
On the feet or overall?
Both. Overall.
I think they're fairly close on the feet. I think Ortega obviously has a great chin. Granted, Max Holloway isn't like a big one-punch power hitter like Zombie is, so we'll find out that way. Boxing, technically, I don't know. I think it's fairly close. And on the ground, I'd edge it to Ortega. Although Zombie's nothing to be sniffed at on the ground.
So this is what I was going to say is, do you edge it to him on the ground, or do you just have because that's his go-to is the guillotine. He's got a triangle as well, but go-to, I mean, his jiu-jitsu is obviously fucking excellent.
Yeah.
But, you know, Zombie, I think you'd have a hard time just going like, oh, he's shot in for a takedown, I'm going to wrap him up in a guillotine.
I'm saying...
But how do you think Ortega wins then?
I think he could... tap him.
He could.
He could... decision him, and if it stays on the feet, it's pretty close to me.
I don't think it is on the feet at all. I don't think it's close on the feet at all. But I
think Ortega's got good boxing. He just hasn't got elite striking like a Holloway. And I don't think Zombie has elite striking.
That is true.
I think you would maybe edge it towards Zombie in striking, but it would be close.
Fair enough.
And I think Zombie's good enough on the ground to handle it, but I would edge it to Ortega. So it'd be a close fight. I'm not saying I heavily favor either, but that's what my argument is. Like, I wouldn't heavily favor...
Favor.
Which is weird.
My favor.
I wouldn't heavily favor Zombie either.
No. Well, that's fair enough.
Seeing people saying, like, oh, Zombie would smack him about. I'm like,
I think he might. I really do think he might.
Well, I mean, that's applicable to any fight. Yes, I think.
No, I think
somebody might, you know, might be one-sided.
I
think if you look at it on paper, skill for skill, I think it's hard to make an argument that one of them would dominate the other.
I disagree. I think skill for skill, there's an argument that Korean Zombie's much better on the feet.
Based off what?
Well, I mean, if you have a look at his record, but and who he's fought, but you know, we'll find out. You know. I think that it's hard, obviously, to know, because, you know, you never know with fights what way they're going to pan out. But I think that you can look at previous fights and gain what look at what you want out of it. So if you want to look at the Renato Moicano fight, you can. And you can see that there is a path to victory on the feet. I mean, you know, like, look at what Zombie did to Renato Moicano as an example.
Yeah, they both. You know, yeah, I know. But.
You know, and I know that's MMA math that doesn't work like that. You know, but you know, it has to factor in. And you know, you're looking at, you know, a guy who's beaten Dustin Poirier, Moicano
8 years ago.
Yeah, but it still, you know, still matters. Like,
I know it still matters, but I mean, if you're going to dissect records, beating Dustin Poirier of 8 years ago is nowhere near the same as beating him now.
No, that's 100% true. 100% true.
You could argue that Korean Zombie's biggest win ever is Frankie Edgar, and that was after Ortega battered him.
That's true. I think the Moicano win is probably more relevant to me when I'm talking about fight analysis, when I'm thinking of...
Yeah. Oh, no, just saying, like, the biggest name.
Yes, probably the biggest name. But Ortega beat Edgar, and I think... It could be a case of catching Edgar on the way down, but we don't know that yet. And I'm also I'm reticent to take it away from him.
Yeah, I think Ortega has decent punching power as well, and Zombie has been stopped a few times.
That's true. That's true. Having said that, it was like that 5-round fight with Yair Rodriguez. Ooh, lordy.
That was so good. Yeah, that was great.
So good. And to be fair to your point there, he was probably going to lose that fight.
The Yair fight?
Yeah.
Can't really remember, other than it being close.
I mean, your year.
Oh, yeah.
Your year was going to lose it, not Zombie. Zombie was winning.
Yeah, I think Zombie was up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. A Zombie and a fight that took place in the feet was piecing.
I think it was piecing up, but I mean, you can't compare Yair and Ortega, striking-wise.
No, but that's my point. Yair is clearly a better striker than Ortega.
I'm not saying he's better striking, I'm saying he's way different.
Yeah, very, but you know, if you can handle...
Like, Yair is a far flashier striker, but he sacrifices defense for that offense, whereas Ortega is quite a traditional shelled-up boxing sort of attack.
Last piece of news, Valerie Lareda denies boob job. That's how it's slim pickings our news has been this week.
And after consulting the evidence...
I don't think so.
I don't think she has.
No.
So we put that one to bed.
Lady Mel was here too. She doesn't think so either.
No.
So, had to get a woman's point of view on it too. Otherwise, it's just curving over a fighter,
Yeah, well, half of Twitter seems to be going...
I know. Do you know what crazy over her beach photos. About it? Like, I had to unfollow someone yesterday who put up a video of some child just getting the shit kicked out of them. I mean, like a 3-year-old.
Oh, really?
But yeah, in Africa. Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm unfollowing you. I don't want to see this shit.
No.
And there's so many fucking perverts. Like, everyone looks at women. Every man looks at women. Every woman looks at women. Every woman
She's
looks at men.
She's entirely
every...
playing up to it.
Of course she is. Yeah. But, like, do we really, like, can people not just keep it to themselves that they're looking at it, is my point?
Yeah, it seems weird that, like...
It's like, it's like going, oh my God, look at what I'm looking at.
Yeah, gotta share this.
It's like, come on, like, we get it. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know.
Enjoy it in private.
Yeah. You don't need to tell me you're looking at it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I know that you're aroused now. Yeah. Thanks for letting
Thanks
me know.
Thanks for telling me that, you flipping thirsty bitch. Yeah. It's like, because we were joking about this the other day, like, Lady Mel, like, loves watching the UFC. Of course she's looking at some of the men. Of course she is. Do you know why? Because that's how life works.
Yeah, them rock hard bods.
Absolutely. But, you know, just don't think she should go on Twitter telling everyone, like, oh, look at who I'm looking at. You know, like, just enjoy it. Enjoy it and keep it to yourself,
it's
people.
Just horny teenager. But if they're...
Well, maybe it is horny teenager saying it. I don't know. So maybe we should get Josh Emmett on then. Boom, so.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, just before we start into this, we did UFC London predictions with him, which are obviously null and void now.
Yeah, the UFC London thing, actually, just to quickly talk about it, was just cancelled, essentially.
Well,
Leon Edwards.
We'll talk about it after the Emmett interview. Yeah.
Very, very pleased to be joined by top 10 featherweight, Josh Emmett. Josh, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. You just done training there?
Yeah, you bet, you guys. Anytime. I just finished up a little session today. Just lifted some weights, hit mitts with my boxing coach, and then I'm going to go home, relax, get some food in me, and come back and train tonight.
Awesome. So obviously, the timing for us, we were talking last week about getting this arranged, and the timing for us, I think, was perfect. So obviously, news has just dropped about your fight with Edson Barbosa, who's dropped, obviously, to featherweight now. So that's in UFC Oklahoma. But we just wanted to talk to you about a couple of things about that fight that I find interesting. One is... You have fought at lightweight and featherweight, and this obviously is Barbosa's first run to featherweight. Are you worried at all about him missing weight?
No, not really. But the funny thing is, I saw that fight announcement probably the same time you did. so it's like I haven't got a bout agreement. I haven't got anything. So I was actually on the phone with my manager, just kind of checking in about possible dates and opponents. And then my phone started blowing up and I just opened, you know, Instagram, and I looked and I was like, look what they announced. And, I found out, you know, after you probably, so I'm not opposed to it, of course, but it's definitely, they haven't even offered that to me or sent me any type of contract. So there's kind of nothing, finalized. So I guess I'll find more out in the next coming few days. But yeah, as far as Barbosa making, you know, featherweight, if everything finalizes and this goes down, I think it'll definitely be hard because he's already he's a big lightweight, pretty lean at that weight, and I know how it is. Those extra 10 pounds are tough, and especially the last like 5-6 pounds. But with him you know, planning this and knowing that he's going to go down. I bet he's been, he's a veteran in the sport. He's like a true legend. I see he's been, you know, planning this out for quite some time. So I know he's probably, you know, been on some type of diet, working with nutritionists, dietitians, and he's a professional. So I see him making the weight. It goes back to the whole thing with Aldo when he announced 135s. I feel like it's kind of that same way. And people said there's no way he's going to make it. He made it, and he actually performed really well.
He looked great.
So I feel like Barboza will do the same. And even with me, you know, I'm on TV, you look a little different. So I'm kind of a shorter person. So people were saying I was a huge lightweight. How am I going to make featherweight? And don't get me wrong, it's super tough. But, you know, I've been able to do it every time except once when I, yep, you know, I took a short notice fight. I don't see any really issues with him, but I know it is going to be tough for him being a bigger fighter.
When you made the decision to go from lightweight to featherweight, is that something that you've been thinking about for a long time? Or do you feel a benefit at 145? Obviously, you say about that cut being those last 10 pounds. You know, is that something that you feel benefits you long term? You know, do you feel better at 45 than you did at 55?
So the whole thing was, that was always my plan to fight at featherweight in the UFC. In some of my earlier pro fights on the regional scene, I was fighting at featherweight. I was always supposed to fight at featherweight, but then every time my opponent would say they can't make the weight, if I would be open to a catchweight at 150. So a lot of my fights were at 150. And so I was like, oh, of course, I'll take that. But then after a while, I was, you know, I was trying to get on the Ultimate Fighter, and I thought that was going to be kind of my route in. So I knew there's no way I could get on the show and fight at featherweight. So I was just fighting lightweight on the regional scene and fighting tough people. And then I was like, if I get a short notice call to the UFC, or if I get on the Ultimate Fighter show, I could make 55 consistently on a weekly basis. And so that's the only reason why I was doing it. And then I got into the UFC and I was winning fights at 155. So I was just like, I guess I'll just kind of stay here. And the only thing that kind of changed my mind was when I fought Desmond Green in his hometown of New York. And to this day, I still feel like I won that fight.
Yeah, it was a split decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a split decision. Yeah. And I feel like I got hometown. So I feel like after that, you know, even I always try to take away, you know, like the silver lining or something positive for it, even how bad things go at a certain point. And, you know, that was it. And I'm grateful for that one judge that gave him every single round, because then that's started my thought process. I'm like, okay, well, this is probably a perfect time to move down to featherweight and make a run at the title. And, you know, and that's why I did it. And it was always my plan all along. But if I would have won that fight, I would still be undefeated. I would probably just stayed at lightweight. You know what I mean? Until, you know, if I lost a fight down the road, then I probably would have made the cut. I feel when I was at lightweight, I felt great, and no one really overpowered me. I felt strong for the weight class, but for me, it's just like I was short for the weight class. That's the only thing. I was just like, I'm just a smaller fighter. And I felt like if I go down to 55s, or I mean 45s, then I'll be kind of more on like the, you know, the average, for featherweights, but I'm still short for that division, you know. But I at least feel like really strong, and I feel like I can land big shots on these guys and they just fall. Whereas lightweight, you know, I would hit them and, you know, I could tell it would hurt them, but it didn't do as much damage to them. And I feel like my power just kind of transferred to the featherweight division, and it's been working well for me. So I'm just gonna, you know, stay there, and my goal is to be a world champion, and that's kind of what I'm gunning for. So with this Barboza offer, it's just like I've been wanting to get people in the top five, the top three, something that's going to get me closer to that title. Like, you know, this fight doesn't really do anything for me. I win, I kind of stay there because he's not ranked, he's coming down from featherweight. And yeah, it's just, so I've been trying to get people in front of me, but it seems like it just never works out that way for me. So like I said, I'm not opposed to it, but they'll just have to pay me.
You've faced some great strikers throughout your career, and it's went very favourably for you. I'm thinking of the crazy Michael Johnson knockout. Is it safe to say that Barboza, though, was probably, you know, the most dangerous striker you faced, or do you have another opponent in mind?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, but it's hard for me. I always give all my opponents so much respect, but I don't know until I get in there. You know what I mean? And we all know that he's a great Muay Thai fighter, great kickboxer. He's probably one of the most explosive fighters. But you never know. Michael Johnson is really fast too. But it's like when I get in there, I can see everything. Like, I don't know. And I have to get hit by it. I have to, you know, see it firsthand. And so that's one thing I do. Trust me, it would be, to this date, I think it'd be one of the toughest fights in my opinion. But, you know, I really won't know how hard he hits or how fast he is until I'm standing right in front of him.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you kind of hit the nail on the head a minute ago about this fight sort of, for lack of a better term, doing nothing for you. Barboza's coming off some losses at 155, and maybe there's actually a sort of parallel with what you just said about your fight with Green there, where he's sort of maybe thinking to himself, look, this is maybe the best time to move down. It is a risky fight for you in that regard, purely because he's not ranked at featherweight. But do you still think that there's enough of a scalp there? Because as you said, he is sort of one of those low-key legends of the sport. And do you think that's enough of a scalp that, you know, hopefully you'll be able to get the top five, top three shot that you rightly deserve?
Yeah, and I 100% agree. And that's the reason why I've never turned down a fight. I saw something on Twitter or something that Ryan Hall was saying I turned down a fight, like, directly turned down a fight. I never got offered that fight. So that was odd that he said that. So people would think I'm scared of him, but then I'll go ahead and fight Barboza. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I tweeted that the other day saying that, like, anyone that thinks that a high level, in fact, any level UFC fighter scared of another fighter, it's a pretty dumb conclusion to draw.
Yeah. And it's just like, at the end of the day, it's a business. So it's like, I want the same thing. I've been wanting these opponents in front of me so I can get closer to that title. I was so close before, and then I'm just getting all these tough, tough guys. Everyone in the UFC is tough, but in the top 10, the top 15, it's even, you know, it's even tougher. So yeah, it's a business because they're trying to set up what's, you know, the best outcome for them. You have to do that. I totally understand it. But with Barboza, he is such a legend. Everyone else, like, already, if this goes down, I'll be a huge underdog again. I'm always a underdog. Everyone's counting me out. Type of stuff. I love that. You know what I mean? I know what I'm capable of. My teammates and my coaches know what I'm capable of. I got to, you know, watch out for a lot of his, you know, his threats and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, he is a legend and a big name. So I feel like I can't be denied. I go in there, I beat a tough veteran, you know, then it's like, then start giving me what I want, you know what I mean? And so that's why I'm all for it. But since it doesn't really make sense, the UFC has to make it worth my while and pay me for it, you know, because he's coming off of two losses. He's won one of his last five, and it is a big threat for not much of a reward, you know what I mean? Unless they pay me.
Well, you're the guy taking all the risk. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not. Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like them. If he were to win, he'd fight one more time. He wins that, they'll give him a title shot. Me, they don't do anything for me. So it's frustrating.
Featherweight is in an unusual spot for a couple of reasons at the minute. You know, Moicano obviously being out now, I think he's moving up to lightweight. That sort of essentially bumps everyone up one. The top guys are all kind of tied up. You know, Max Holloway really probably not going to fight. You know, you wouldn't have thought fight for the belt. He is fighting for the belt again, isn't he?
Yeah, I thought that's the rumors.
They're talking about it in Perth, June 6th.
It surprises me, but even at that, you have, you know, Ortega tied up, you know, with the Korean zombie thing. And I'm just actually, while we're talking about that, I assume you saw Brian Ortega slapped the translator. Do you have any thoughts on that, or do you just not really care about stuff like that?
I saw that, but it's... I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it. I saw it. Yeah, that's kind of that's about it. I thought
it's so ridiculous, like because the
yeah, I think like, yeah, you know, like, all said and done, I don't think he should have done that. You know what I mean? But you know, if he wanted to confront, like the zombie said, you know what I mean? He's just like a singer. He can't defend himself. Brian yeah. Ortega, a pretty big featherweight, one of the best fighters in the world, and he just slapped a defenseless person. It'd be like me going up and just sucker punching some bum outside this, you know, behind the gas station. Like, it's uncalled for.
So, what is next after the Barbosa fight? I assume you sort of said that, you know, you're looking for someone in that top five. Is that ultimately your goal after the Barbosa fight, is to sort of accept nothing less?
Yeah, I guess. But that's kind of what I was saying after the Bektik fight. You know, I'm like, I don't want to fight anyone behind me. I want to fight people in front of me that's getting me closer to the title. So I guess so. But, you know, if this fight goes down, then it's like I'm not overlooking him. But yeah, I want to fight someone. I was saying the top three. I was really gunning after the Bektik fight. I wanted to fight Aldo or Ortega. But then Aldo went down to 35s, and now I feel like I'm fighting the, you know, Barboza's kind of, they're on the same level, just a bigger, bigger Aldo.
Yeah.
Still really dangerous, you know, same type of fighter.
Do you
but yeah, that would be the goal, you know what I mean? I want to do something that's going to get me closer to the shot. Or if, you know, say I go in there and I have like a spectacular finish, a great performance, and no one else will fight me, then just give me the damn winner of, yeah. Holloway Volkanovski. I was the one saying that Volkanovski is going to be the one to beat Holloway, and I think Volkanovski and I match up really well. We're similar in styles. We're the same size, big featherweights, good wrestlers, powerful, you know. So I feel like I've been saying like he's a good dude, but it's like that would be a perfect matchup
stylistically as well,
and it would be like me fighting myself, and he's beat some of my teammates, Darren Elkins and Chad Mendez, so I would love to go in there and get that one back and bring home some gold.
Do you ever think you'd return to lightweight, or is your home at featherweight now, you know, for the rest of your career, do you think?
Yeah, no, I think my home is here, but you never know. I'm getting older, even though I got into this older than most. It's the weight cut is hard for sure, but like I'm not opposed to going back up to lightweight. Honestly, I've on the regional scene, I fought at welterweight before. You know, I'll fight at any weight. Yeah, as long as it's like a enticing matchup and I'm making some money, I'll go anywhere. You know, I'll go back to lightweight, but right now I'm pretty content at featherweight. You can go.
So just one question just before we just do some quick fires with you and let you go, Josh, because we understand you're busy and appreciate you taking the time. Obviously, when you got injured in the Stevens fight, the injuries were well documented and quite severe injuries. Mel and I both had novice MMA fights, nothing compared to what you guys go through, but
it's all the same.
One thing that I took away from it was the difficulty of the mental aspect of the game, and I think that it's something that a lot of people perhaps that have never done it don't get. So the reason we did it was for doing this podcast. We wanted to have some sort of insight. So one quick question about that injury, because I'm sure you've talked to death about it, is what way was that affecting you mentally when you came back? That must have been a serious cross to bear.
Yeah, no, it was, but honestly, like the people that know me, my friends, coaches, teammates, that's my greatest attribute, I always say. It's like my mental toughness. Like, to be honest, I was dealing with vertigo and stuff like that. And that was the only thing that was kind of not even hard to overcome. It's just something that you can't, like, I you can't shake it. I wake up, I'm dizzy, I'm like nauseous. Like, I'm just waiting for that to pass, but I don't know when it is going to pass or if it's ever going to pass. So that's the only tough thing, but I knew I'd come back and fight. I've played sports my entire life. I've wrestled since I was a little kid all the way through college. I've gone through a lot of stuff, even in like my childhood and just really, you know, it wasn't challenging at all. Like, as soon as I didn't have that vertigo, I wasn't suffering those symptoms, I could care less about, you know, like the fractures and everything. Like, I felt the same, but it was funny because I was hearing all these journalists and all these people putting out articles and telling the, I guess just the people or the fans how I'm going to feel, but they never asked me, they never talked to me, they don't know me. So I found that kind of interesting, but no, it wasn't, as soon as the vertigo went away and I could get back to it, I knew I would, you know, I'd be right back to it. You know, I feel like like I've always said, there's no one that's going to mentally break me. You know what I mean? And I'm willing to go through a lot of stuff, and I accept before I fight, I have like just my mentality. I accept that it's going to hurt. I'm going to get hit. I'm really willing to go through whatever to get my hand raised, and I'm not going to stop. Like literally someone has to put me out or do something to stop. I'll never cower away. Like some of these guys, you can tell when they want out of the fight, how they turn away or don't defend themselves. It's like that guy wants out, like just get him out. Like I will never do that. So, yeah, it wasn't that challenging as bad as the injuries I've had, or how bad they were. It really was just another thing I had to overcome. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, it's a fortitude and mentality that's done you well so far. So we'll just do some quick fire questions with you, get some predictions for London, and let you bounce, Josh. We really appreciate you taking the time here. So, Street Fighter, Tekken, or Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
That's the exact same thing Curtis Blade said. So it must be more akin to the UFC then for some reason. Van Damme or Schwarzenegger?
Van Damme. I watched all that. I watched all of his videos growing up. Like they were all not bootleg, but like they never, a lot of them didn't go to the movie theater, but yeah, my older brother and I, we'd always watch those.
Kickboxer, I assume, is
that. As I say, kickboxer and blood sport, it's gotta be.
Oh yeah, no, which one do I prefer out of those two?
If you want.
Yeah, blood sport was I love that, but I love kickboxer, but yeah, blood sport for sure.
So pineapple on pizza, hell yes or hell no?
Hell yes. Pineapple and jalapeno pepperoni.
That's yes.
Excellent. I've never tried that combo. I may have to.
You have to.
Who is your toughest opponent been so far? Even if it's regional.
Yeah, no, I was thinking one of my tougher fights, I always say, was Christos Yagos. I was fighting on a regional scene. I almost got in the UFC so many times, almost on the Ultimate Fighter. And they were always saying, win one more. No one would fight me. So I was fighting all these UFC vets or scheduling fights with them, fighting guys with like 30, 40 pro fights. But Christos Yagos was...
It was for the belt, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I was the champion for West Coast. So I was the champion. And then since it was a super fight in California, they made this other some international fighting super fight belt as well. So... you know, we went to war and I knocked him out in the third and then defended my title and won a new one. But yeah, he was definitely, I always say that was one of my toughest fights. He was a good dude. And it was an awesome fight. The only thing that pissed me off was like, I was fighting the West Coast. I think I made like $1,500 for that fight without like ticket sales, sponsors and shirts.
Yeah.
And then we got a fight of the night and a knockout of the night, but it got me an extra $500. I was like, if we fought, you know, in the UFC, we would have got two bonus checks and some money. Yeah. So that's the only thing. Yeah. We went through kind of hell and we're like, it was just shitty that we fought on this, in this setting instead of the big show, but it got me in the UFC.
Yeah.
Well, and he's back now too. So that's awesome.
If you had any superpower, what would you choose?
Teleporting, like the Nightcrawler.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, anywhere. So I could just hold someone and boom, go to where I want and come back. Maybe go into a vault or something, you know?
You'd definitely be able to travel a lot more, that's for sure.
Exactly, without worrying about the virus.
That's true. What's it like where you are? Because like we're literally like all of our supermarkets are completely sold out of like toilet roll and like tins of food.
Yeah, same here. Like Costco, a lot of stuff here sold out of toilet paper, paper towels, and water. And I'm like, I don't get the water. It's like you can just turn on the faucet. That's
it's not like
it is getting bad. And I feel like I feel like a lot of the Americans aren't taking it serious. And I was over in Vietnam when it was like as bad as when this was all kind of starting. My wife and I were just there for 2.5 weeks, and then we got back 3 weeks ago. And now it's so bad in Europe, Italy, and now it's obviously coming. It's here in the U.S. and it's you know, I feel like people aren't taking it serious, but I feel like we need to, just so, because it's just a matter of weeks before it's like China was or Italy. Yep. Hopefully not, but you never know.
So your dream fight for you, your dream opponent, any era?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I've had my favorite fighters. Like my favorite fighters growing up, or I've been a fan of the sport forever, was like Tito Ortiz and Matt Hughes at the time. But I wouldn't want to fight those guys. You know what I mean? Especially when they're in their prime.
You'd probably fight Tito now.
Yeah, now would be a different if I could fight them now. But yeah, no, those are always my favorite fighters, like Matt Hughes, yeah. Tito. But yeah, in their prime, there's no way in hell I'd want to fight those guys.
And the last one, in 5 years, Josh Emmett will be?
Retired featherweight champion and just living the dream, man. Just investing in real estate and having a good life, traveling and doing all these things. So I hope I have a good 4 or 5 years left in me, and I'm just going to maximize this time and do as much as I can to set my wife and I and our family up for the future.
Brilliant.
Amazing. Really appreciate you coming on.
Yes, thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
And, you guys take care.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on again sometime down the line, so take care, bud.
Yeah, let me know anytime.
Cheers. Peace.
Later.
Yes, UFC London cancelled them. That was the wonderful Josh Emmett. So thank you very much to him for giving his lovely time over for us. It means a lot. So, UFC London cancelled.
It's now going to be UFC Alabama Warehouse. It just seems so ridiculous. Just let it die. This is like, it's not happening.
It's mental.
Well, 10 of the 13 fights are off. And what, one of them is Tyron Woodley versus TBA currently?
Yeah, it just makes no sense. You just, you know, we've been talking about the coronavirus on Twitter. Well, not talking about it, but talking about this side of things. And the thing is that some people think it's hysteria, others don't, right? But regardless, is it not better to just...
err on the side of caution.
Yeah, everywhere, every other sport has been cancelled. And I understand that Dana White is just frothing at the mouth at the idea of...
He posted that they were the number one trending sports event on Twitter. It's like, you were literally the only sports event.
Yeah, but that's that's why he's so determined not to. And to be fair, devil's advocate on it is that it does make a lot of sense if they can make the shows, because the amount of coverage it would get being the only sports event. But it's not worth it.
It looks, I think it's detrimental to the sport.
To us?
No, just to the sport in general, because it'll look a bit hillbillyish.
Backyard brawling, the way it was.
Oh, we're in some empty warehouse somewhere or empty arena with guys who shouldn't be on this stage, or you know, aren't of this standard.
True.
In fights, we put a whole card they're planning to put together. Well, it's currently Monday. They're planning to put a whole card together, an entire new card in an entire new city in 6 days. It's going to be dog shit.
Yeah, it's mental that they're even stressing about trying to do it whenever, you know, you just write it off. It's done.
Just
move on with your life. It's okay. It sucks. And one thing I will say is, poor Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
He's getting shot on because the UFC put him in a position where they were like, you've 12 hours to get on the plane, get over to America. We've no guarantee you can return back to the UK anytime soon because of travel bans. And if you don't do it, your fight's off.
Yeah.
Like, and then people are coming out and being
like, pulled out like a bitch.
We knew it would happen. Bitch. Didn't want to fight Woodley. Didn't want any of that smoke. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I feel really bad for Edwards because that was his, like, big names just didn't want to fight him. And he finally got one. And then this happens.
Well, we were joking about this earlier on, saying it's like, funny because the irony of it is that this fight nearly didn't happen because Tyron Woodley didn't want to go to London. And then you made a good point. Maybe Tyron is the one who spread the coronavirus just to make sure that he didn't need to leave.
He's patient zero.
just breathing on everyone. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, it's a shit show.
It's going to be hard. Did you see? I'm going to read. I think I've got it saved.
I didn't know you could read.
Well, barely. I don't actually. I just memorize.
B-E-A-R-L-Y.
Barally. I just memorize noises. I have a good memory. So this is the email the UFC were sending out to fight managers, which just seems so ridiculous. Because we are moving this event, as in UFC London, to the US next weekend, there will be a number of open spots on the card. Translated, the entire card is open.
Yep.
If you have anyone currently under UFC contract, from bantamweight to welterweight, who wants a short notice fight, please let me know. If you have any UFC vets or fighters ready for the UFC on a week's notice, please let me know. Do not email me about anyone who is not a US citizen or does not have a current P1 visa. Thank you. That is just the height of desperation.
That is...
That's just let it go.
Just move on.
Here, do you have anyone who isn't really... Like, they're all going to say, yeah, everyone I've got on my management roster is ready for the UFC. Like, they'll be inundated with... People will be going, this is my chance.
It's like, stupid, though, because...
It's going to be so shit.
Yeah, yeah, it will. It will. I think that they need to decide what's happening long term, because they were talking about moving the next couple of cards to the Apex, which is where Dana White's Contender Series is.
That's gone now.
And the Las Vegas Athletic Commission have gone, nope. Yeah. Apparently, no coronavirus in West Virginia, though.
Yeah, so that's so where we're...
Take me home, country roads. That's where we're going.
That's where we're going.
Could be.
One of them southern states.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I mean, if they can do it and it is safe to do so,
but I don't
fine.
Think it can be. I think that's the thing. Like,
that's my point.
Yeah, every other mass gathering, regardless of what you think about it or not, has been cancelled. Like,
yeah, we actually had on Twitter. It was quite funny. What do you call them?
But people are taking it the wrong way. They're like, do you know it's a hero because we just want to watch fights. Yeah, I just want to watch fights too. I want to watch fights all the time. However, there is like there's a value scale, and human life is slightly higher than watching fights.
Oh, Gerald Harris being a moron on our Twitter.
Yeah.
He's coming out being like, what was he said? He said something ridiculous. I said,
no deaths in Africa,
I said,
bro.
Yeah, he said, there's no deaths in Africa. And then I said, he says, there's tons of diseases. Hold on, I'll find it. And he says, my point is that you all act like the world is ending and it's not. I can name five things that kill more people each day. And I said, can you name five things spreading faster right now? And he said, rabies. And I said, yes, that's five.
Mm.
You know, like...
It has been hitting
what?
The head a lot.
Like, yeah, he clearly has. The guy is a muppet.
It was a bad argument. His points weren't relevant to what
he just
was
sounded
discussed.
Like he, with zero evidence, was doing the.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think it's that bad. So everyone needs to calm the fuck down. And like, I fall somewhere in between that and the panic. Right. So.
Oh yeah, I'm not panicked about it at all.
I have accidentally become that arsehole that stocks up, but it's only because everyone else was stocking up, and I was like, shit, I need to stock up because everyone else has everything.
Yeah.
But like,
as for the actual like virus. Yeah, like, if you're being purely selfish, it's not going to kill me.
No, probably not.
And you're, well, as Big Mel, to let you know, you have a 10% chance.
Yeah, I'm a slightly higher risk, but, oh, like, I'm still, like...
Take those odds.
I'm not hiding in the... I am going to stay here.
Yeah.
Most
I would
of the
advise
time.
My 90-year-old grandfather, who has...
Not to leave the house.
Who has a laundry list of things wrong with him. Yeah. Why don't you just stay in for the next wee bit?
Well, I am planning to, other than, you know... Whatever, because to be honest, the only thing I ever really went to did was Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah,
and
the gym
and
is
shut
the gym
anyway,
is shut
which makes sense. Yeah. Like, and to be honest, there we're talking about until like the 27th or something. I'm like, yeah. No, like just wait.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. I mean, that's
be,
what I mean.
Could
like,
be another
we'll probably
2 months.
We'll probably end up staying in because the things we do are shut. You know, it's not out of like, oh my god, I'm locking myself away.
No, well, like I was down doing a couple of bits and pieces in town today. Like, you know, not going around touching everything, but like,
oh, I do.
Just licking it. But, you know...
Always like the button for crossing the road. Just give it
just
a good
lick.
Just press it with your tongue. But yeah, so he... I don't really get... And in fairness, the response from everyone else, I don't think anyone else got his point or lack of. And it just went on for a bit. It didn't come off well.
No.
It just wasn't relevant.
No, it wasn't. Anywho, it's probably time for us to get to listener questions.
It's listener questions. Yay!
Tons and tons and tons and tons of listener questions.
Just the way we like it.
Absolutely. So thank you all for tweeting them at us. It means a lot to us. We had one question that we're going to save for next week.
Because I have a feeling next week's going to be pretty
slow.
And
it was, well, we'll announce it. We're going to talk about our dream card next week. So yeah. Something to do for a bit of fun. So.
Also going to put some topics up on Twitter and you can vote.
Yep.
And we'll
take it from there.
Take it from there.
So, and apologies if I get this name wrong. It's Ahmad at AHMADHRC24 says, what is the best case scenario to put on Khabib versus Tony if it even happens?
Postpone it. Put it in International Fight Week. Make it massive.
Correct. You actually said everything I wanted to, so that was short and sweet.
Done.
I don't think it should happen right now.
No, it's too.
And why rush? Like, it's got. Like, I understand.
Yeah, the rush is that, like, oh my God, if it doesn't happen now, it's never going to happen.
But I think that that's. Like, the thing is that people would be. So let's say Connor Khabib. Right?
I get it that the fight. I mean, I would watch them fight in an empty arena because the fight is so high level, but it's everything which goes along with that. You want the crowd atmosphere, you want the walk-ins, you want the hostility. Just, there's no need to rush it. Just let it simmer just a bit longer.
It will happen. Keep doing press conferences over the phone.
It's just bubbling. Oh, please God, no. No problem. No, I never want to hear them talk ever again, especially Tony.
So, red white_gunner, which is at red white_gunner. Hey, Brad, how's it going? He tweets at us saying, what is more convincing, T-Wood's rap career or his calling out of Colby for the failed UFC London card? Neither are particularly convincing.
His rap career is just. I'm not a massive. I'd say quite like classic rap, but his music is guff.
Yes, it is truly terrible.
Truly terrible. And in fairness, I'm going to give T-Wood a pass here. See how we're cool. We're calling him T-Wood. Colby called him out, and he just responded to it. So, I got to give him a pass there. You know, Colby was the one who, you know, he didn't mention him. Colby brought it up, and then he hasn't made a statement since. It's not going to happen.
Colby's probably not even healthy. He's not that long off breaking his jaw.
But then, it was confusing because, did he break his jaw? Wasn't it? No, because I thought... He came out and was like, no, it's fine. There was pictures of him. He wasn't like he was absolutely fine.
Oh. I thought that it said.
No.
I'm nearly sure he... Well, okay. Well, then everything I know has been a lie.
Yeah. The thing with that is as well, that's a fight I want to see. However, I don't want to see it in 6 days' notice because Colby can say he's in shape all the time, but he's not in 25 minutes of Tyron Woodley shape, who's had a full camp. I'd rather just see them have a camp each and fight each other.
Yeah, yeah. So,
because I think Colby gives him all sorts of trouble, and I think Woodley has possibly the perfect sort of anti-Covington game plan.
Explosive anti-wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a great fight, and I'd like to see it, but just not now. So I'm going to say I'm less convinced in his rap career.
Okay.
Have you seen the videos?
Oh, they're fucking
terrible.
I don't like.
I thought he was. First of all, he's like 38, so he's not on the young side either.
No.
Especially in the rap game, which seems to be infested with 20-year-old pill addicts.
Yep. That's fair.
I thought he was like a happily married man with like 8 kids.
He is.
It just seemed very odd to start rapping about bitches. Mama Woodley and
money. Was probably furious.
Yeah. It's like someone, you know what it is? It's like if someone hired me and you to like write the most stereotypical rap song you can think of.
Yeah.
We would just write about bitches, money.
Bitches bling.
Weed.
Drugs.
Yeah. He's like
guns.
Right. Yeah.
That'll do. That's the formula. Close enough.
Close enough. And we're done. So yeah, I'm going to say his rap career is less convincing.
I agree. So at Mario Liked the Game messages saying, this is a genuine question. I'd like a timestamp and everything for...
Hold up, bitch. You don't get no timestamp.
No.
You got to listen to this.
Yeah, we don't do timestamps.
You got to listen to this the whole way through.
Yeah, because like part of it for me with when it comes to things like that, because he's not the only person that's ever requested that.
I apologize for calling you a bitch because you're...
Yes, you're a big fan and, yeah. And we really love interacting
really
with
love
you.
Really love interacting.
We are, of course, joking about calling you a bitch.
I don't think people from outside of Northern Ireland, our tone probably just sounds rather aggressive
yeah.
rather than like Yeah, I'm joking.
It's frustrating for us in that regard, though, when it comes to like time stamp stuff, because it's like part of what we're trying to do is just build like fans that listen, get involved throughout the podcast.
I don't
like
saying fans. We'll go listeners.
Yeah,
because
listeners, we're just two dudes, guys. Yeah. Yeah. No one would like us as a fan. Like that's weird, actually, now you've said that.
Yeah.
Makes sense. But like, it's kind of like the show is, it's just us rambling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
like,
all
it's all the same. Like, yeah. You either like it or you fucking don't.
Yeah.
Not you personally, just everyone listening.
Once again, like, the tone sounds threatening.
Yeah, yeah.
Either
listen,
like it or
you either
don't.
Fucking like it or you don't, mate. Yeah. All right.
We're saying this all out of love while smiling. You just can't see it.
What we'll do is we will tell you. It's in the second half of the podcast. That's close
it's
enough.
It's somewhere
isn't
between
it?
The first and
it's
last
between
minute.
1 minute and 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, the question was, maybe I'm a douche for this, but she wasn't that great. Just the first female fighter to get shit going. I'd much rather watch a career like Cyborg with diversity and talent, not a quitter, talking about Ronda Rousey. I don't think you're a douche for it. I think that it's what we actually talked about earlier on the podcast. This is part of the reason why you have to listen to all of it. When we said about the evolution of women's MMA, I think the sport just progressed past her. I think she was phenomenal for the time.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, we could look back at people like, I don't know, Mark Coleman, who, if he came along today with that skill set,
he'd be dead.
Would have shit pushed in.
Yeah.
Whether you love her or hate her, you can't deny that she was
dominant.
Dominant and transcended the sport.
Yes, probably the first person, full stop, let alone female, probably the first person to do it.
And if you look at the names on her record, like they were the top fighters of that time.
Betsy O'Hara.
I mean, there's things like that. Betsy O'Hara looks way worse in hindsight, in fairness.
But at the time,
she was kind of shite at the time, but she was winning. But like, handle Catanzaro, Sarah McCann, beat Misha Tate twice when she was at the peak of her powers. Yeah. I mean, you can only beat what's in front of you, and she didn't just beat them, she dismantled them.
I agree.
If she came back now, to me, she's a top 10 fighter.
Yeah.
She's not elite anymore.
I mean, what you said there, Mario, about, you know, just the first female fighter to get shit going.
Yeah kind of.
Yeah. That said,
in the UFC,
don't particularly like her.
No,
not with what, did you see the video she released?
Yeah,
it was like, do we need water? And then it was like, no, because we've got our own water storage.
She earned all her money.
Yeah.
But the way she's talking is like, do we need meat? Do we need water? Do we need veggies? Yes, because you live on a massive slab of land where you can farm your own animals. And, well, she's not, as we say, she's unemployed, but she's, she doesn't work with, or she, as far as I know, she's on a sabbatical from WWE at the minute. So yeah, okay, don't rub that. I think what she's suggesting isn't a bad thing. Yes, we should probably all be a bit more self-sustainable, but don't be smug about it.
I think
she was talking
about the coronavirus.
Yeah, you worked very, very hard, and granted, if you know, like, no one.
Yeah, but if someone else could do 5 years of work and make $10 million, like,
but that's what I mean. Yeah, you're in a very
privileged position,
and it's hard to, you know, I'm not judging her for it, because like I said, she worked incredibly hard and multiple time UFC champion.
Well,
but
also,
yeah, it's just, you can't hold that over.
When, like, she showed the, like, the fridge,
lots of people who work incredibly hard are at jobs
when she showed
which
the
just
freezer,
don't make that much money.
When she showed the freezer full of meat as well, it's like, do you hunt though?
I think,
yeah. I know he does, but does she hunt?
I don't know.
The only reason I'm saying that is because,
yeah, but they're a package now.
Yes, they are, but he wasn't in the video. So what I'm saying is, it's like, no, we don't need that. And it's like, only because, you know, you're fortunate enough to have someone that can do that for you. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because like, tons of women are married to men who can't hunt.
Yeah.
Like, your wife has married a man who cannot hunt.
That's true.
You know, like, now, to be fair, perhaps she does hunt, and I'm wrongfully assuming,
I don't know. Yeah.
She doesn't.
I think,
no idea.
That's what I'm saying. I think the message isn't wrong, just how she delivered it rubbed everyone up the wrong way. It's like, okay, don't be so fucking smug about it.
True.
But going back to her fighting career, she was that good. She was, whether you know, I didn't enjoy her as a personality ever. but she was that good. She annihilated everyone. I think how she did against Amanda Nunes highlights how she'd do against most of the division now. Yeah. Obviously, they wouldn't wipe her out quite like that. But if Amanda Nunes is the elite standard, then that's about right.
So at Snowdragon _ no time finish MMA thoughts.
I think what you're asking for is death matches.
I love it.
I think you'd be shocked at how many fights end in cardio-related heart attacks rather than finishes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I like the idea of it for a main event.
I just don't think it worked.
It's so dangerous because you're literally being like, one of you is going down. I think getting it regulated would be nearly impossible.
Oh, yeah, it is impossible. You couldn't do that. Finish only.
But I like the idea.
We are going till one of you fuckers is unconscious.
I like the idea, though.
Yeah, well, it's a bit
medieval.
Yeah, it's a bit...
Bless me. Spreading that coronavirus.
Like I tweeted about sticking, you know, UFC buying an island and doing a martial arts tournament on it, a la Enter the Dragon. I mean,
yeah, you got caught out in that one though.
Well, I thought it was so obvious.
I know,
but like I wasn't claiming it.
I know.
But I mean, if that was the scenario, then yeah, to the death. Well, it's sent to the death, just finish only. But like, that's pretty much where you're going.
Fun idea.
Impossible.
Unfortunately, impossible.
Have you seen Data 5000 and Kimbo?
Oh yeah, every fight would just look like
you'd
that.
Have a lot of that. Because those guys, people are so tough. Can't be knocked out. Oh, good Lord. The brain damage would be ridiculous.
Oh, it'd be horrendous.
It's like...
people be having strokes in the middle of the game.
Yeah, people are like, I'm fighting Darren Elkins, and I hit him with my car, and he's still here.
That'll
be it. It would just be cardio is king.
Andrew Lennon Miller, at Andrew Lennon MI3, asks, why is Gilbert Burns now the goat of callouts? This obviously a reference to him calling out Colby and being like, you talk so much shit, I'm gonna beat your butt, you know, you're lucky you're on ESPN, like, yeah. Because he is, sir. Because he
called out Woodley and RDA,
both great fights, get him there or thereabouts.
Apparently Woodley don't want none of that.
Can you blame him?
I know, and is leaning towards Dos Anjos.
Burns could be a nightmare for Usman. His cardio is his problem. He's had questionable cardio in the past.
I don't know. Well, since moving up, he doesn't have that mad cut anymore.
True.
That's what I'm saying. I think at welterweight, he is a problem.
He's a big problem. He is not a walkover for any of that top five.
Because his grappling and submission offense is so good that you can't just wrestle control him.
No. And he, because of that, can just plant his feet and throw.
Yeah.
And he can throw hard.
Yeah.
And he's working with Henry Hooft, one of the best striking coaches in the game.
He's... very interesting to see what happens with him. He's one win away.
Yeah. So thanks for the question. At MMA_overkill asks us, we'd love to hear your thoughts on recent news regarding the majority of UFC cards being moved due to COVID-19. We sort of covered that, but just to summarize again.
Cancel them all.
Just
as much as it hurts, because
yeah,
like we said,
it sucks.
I want to watch fights and it sucks, but...
Until we know. The problem, I think, with this virus is they don't really... Everything is sort of speculation right now. And they're like, they're going, oh, we think it travels through this. We think that it might not lie on surfaces too long, or whatever it might be. But
I think they don't know this yet. And the UFC's approach is just blind ignorance.
Yeah, it's a money-on-money approach.
Well, Dana's saying, unless the government... installs a lockdown where everyone's confided to their own homes, the fights are happening. It's like, oh, fucking, like,
yeah. Well,
dude, you're already so rich. Just chill out.
Thank you for the question, and I don't think I have too much more to add to that one. Yeah.
See, that is an example of why no timestamps.
Yeah.
Sometimes your question just gets randomly answered.
But we will always credit you for your question.
Yeah.
Credit where it is due. Again, the at Combat Hub Real, which is the Combat Hub, we interact with him quite a lot. He says, how do you think the UFC are handling the coronavirus situation? This is a slightly different question.
Very poorly.
The answer is terribly.
Yeah.
I think they're handling it fucking terribly.
They're just giving off a very... I keep saying hillbilly like it's a bad thing. But the connotation is that it is bad. Just a bit uninformed and ignorant. We don't care about this here virus. We're going to keep fighting each other.
Yeah, pretty much. So the next question is, what is next for DeBronk? For DeBronk, and that's from at not a casual MMA BPW. He sent us another question as well, which we'll get to in a second. That's a great question.
On Saturday night, I was like, you know what, Renato Moicano. But I'm going to look up the rankings here and have a wee nosy. He called out Khabib and Tony and shoot for the stars, but it's not going to happen. Because he called out Connor before as well, and that is also not happening. He's also in that weird position that he's probably not that well known, but he is a problem for everyone.
Yep.
Let me see. So we'll have to put him in the top 10. So 10 and up. Barboza's gone. Aya Quinta?
Yeah, Aya Quinta.
Yeah, but he just beat Kevin Lee, and Kevin Lee was ranked above Aya Quinta.
Yeah, but
and it's how he beat Kevin Lee.
He's not ranked though.
He is. He's ranked. He was ranked 13 before. Yeah. The new rankings aren't out yet.
So you give him anyone the top 10. Though.
So I think he's bouncing to 8.
Yeah.
The problem is with everyone above that. Felder's not going to fight him. Cerrone could be an option. Dan Hooker's not going to fight him. Justin Gaethje's not going to fight him. And above that's Connor, Dustin, Tony. That's not going to happen. He's in a weird spot.
He also asks the question, talk about your opinion on Brendan Schaub.
Oh, lordy.
I don't particularly like him. I like him as a dude. I think that I'd have a really good time having a beer with him and shooting the shit.
I don't. I think he would do my head in. I think every piece of content he makes is dog shit.
Well, that goes our chances of working with him when he's in Belfast then.
I don't give a fuck.
I think he's cool as a person. I just don't like his MMA takes, if that makes sense.
That's his whole thing.
Yeah, but you're allowed to have shit takes. Sometimes he gets paid too much. Sometimes I have shit takes.
Brendan gets paid a lot more than me for his shit takes.
Yeah, but that's because Brendan Schaub was a
average UFC heavyweight.
Which was the other question was, well, not the other part of the question would be, what was he like as a fighter?
Average.
But that, but coming to the sport that late, you know,
true,
he did.
But in a division that week, I think he got as high as he was ever going to get.
Yeah. Would I still want to watch him fight now?
No.
Was I happy to see him get wins over Mirko and Matt Mitrione?
No. The Mirko one was heartbreaking because prime Mirko would have mauled him.
Well, he beat Gonzaga too.
Same again. Gonzaga checked out by that point. His best wins are over big has-beens.
The
Mitrione wins his best win.
Yes, yeah, that is his
Mitrione was just coming into his peak and he mauled him.
Yeah, that's true. But I like him as a person. I don't like his MMA takes, though.
Mm.
That's my stance on him. I think that he gets a lot of hate because he says dumb shit, but then it's almost like what Luke Thomas said about Stylebender, which is that
I think
you pump out that much content, you're going to say something dumb.
I think that's the problem that I have with him, is that there's just like there's an oversaturation of Brendan Schaub. He's on Joe Rogan.
He's on
The King and the Sting. Yeah. He's on Below the Belt. He's on food truck things. It's like now he does boxing analyst work for some reason.
Yeah.
And his stand-up as well.
Is questionable. The stand-up questionable.
Is questionable in both walks.
Yeah, no, his stand-up is definitely questionable. So at Ian Hader, which is at Oxton ELEC on Twitter, he says, do you think Leon Edwards MMA should fly to the US on his late notice to keep the fight with Woodley alive at UFC London?
Window was shut that, anyway.
But yeah.
By the time we got around to recording this, that's been answered.
The answer would have been no anyway. I don't think that he is under any obligation to do so or was.
I think it's unfair.
Of course it is.
To ask or expect
they
someone
have families
to do that.
And
but in any other job, I wouldn't be like, here, your boss rings you up. I need you on a plane in less than 6 hours. To go to a country where, you know what, you mightn't be able to come back from.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're not doing it. So, yeah, thanks for that question. Let's see. I'm just trying to have a look here and see what the best order to do the last couple of questions in is. And I think we have it. So at Cassius_cam530, thanks for writing in this again, brother. He asked, what's next for De Bronx, which we've answered. He says, especially impressed with his striking and feels definitely in the mix now, 100%. Rebus looked outstanding. Potential matchups, ? And how do we get Luke Thomas to shut the fuck up about coronavirus? So
the only way for that is for him
to get coronavirus
and be self-isolated and someone to, I don't know, cut the internet to his house.
Fuck, that'd be good. Right, so in terms of Rebus,
she is a
strawweight.
She's strawweight or flyweight?
Strawweight. I mean, I suppose you just give her someone between the 10 to 15 mark.
Angela Hill. Is she one of the 110 women who've already fought Angela Hill?
I think she has already fought her. Tisha Torres makes sense, yeah. I'm just trying to see where maybe she hasn't already fought Angela Hill.
Get her record up here.
She hasn't actually, no. Her three fights were Emily Whitmire, Mackenzie Dern, and Randa Markos. That's three decent wins.
Oh yeah. Angela Hill or Tisha Torres makes sense to me.
Yeah, they make sense. And then maybe Cynthia Calvillo would be one I'd be interested in as well, but that's quite a jump because that's straight to 10. But
I don't, in that division, I don't think there's a big...
No, it's like split of talent. Yeah.
I think once you sort of get about 6 and up, that's where the... I think anyone from about 7 to 15 is fairly interchangeable with each other.
I've been triggered by this question. How do we get Luke Thomas to shut the fuck up about coronavirus? How do we get Luke Thomas to shut the fuck up, full stop? I went off on him last week because I really hate his attitude. He's just a smug, arrogant prick. But the way he's talking about coronavirus now as well, he's just applying his MMA shit to it as well. And like I said, man, go get yourself a fucking personal Twitter for people who give a fuck. Like, I am not following Luke Thomas on Twitter to read his opinion on fucking coronavirus or get minute-by-minute updates. I don't give a fuck about what Luke Thomas thinks.
And you and Luke Thomas should go for a beer together.
100%. Mate, this is the thing. I'm sure as a guy, like, in that setting, he'd be great. I really like his takes on most things, and I don't even disagree with most of it.
Because it's not just an extension of his personality.
No, it's the choice of language he uses, and I don't think when you're talking to someone that's as pretentious because...
Ooh, I don't know.
No, I don't think so, because if you're having a conversation with someone, if you want to try and crowbar those words in, like, it's one of two paths. You either crowbar it in, which is super obvious,
or
it's part of your dialect, and I do believe it's part of his dialect, but the problem when you read it in text...
I don't know if it is. I think it's... not part of his dialect. I think it's part of very few people's dialects.
Well, does he not have a law degree? So he's like, I think he is quite well read.
I don't know what he's got. Oh no, I'm not saying he's not well read. He's obviously a very intelligent person and well spoken. But just from, I don't know. Actually, I'm trying to think of the last time I listened to anything of his, which is a long time.
The point
ago.
I'm making is, I think tweeting
is different because you can literally draw something up and then think. Is that the best way to word that? Maybe I'll go back and...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Put a bit of sprinkling.
That's
of
exactly what I'm saying.
That.
That's why it does my head in. And then with the coronavirus stuff, it's like, stop your fucking talking about it. Because, you know, I'm at the point where he is one of the best sources of news for MMA. Or like, you know, discussion points or whatever. Yeah. And I'm razor close to unfollowing him. Not that it matters. Like, he's not going to give a shit. And probably no one listening cares about whether we follow him or not. But from my own point of view, it's like you've fallen so far and you keep making it worse.
He irks you. He gets
to you. He really does. He really does.
I'm numb to him. I don't have the same... I don't enjoy it and I don't listen to his content, but I agree with you that like he is a good source. And I agree with lots of his opinions.
I agree with most of it.
Maybe,
95%
maybe not
of it.
I didn't enjoy... He was nearly a victim of MMA fighting falling apart.
Yeah.
As in the site, not the sport. And I don't think he was a good fit for what they asked him to do.
Yeah.
But I just... It's led to me sort of subconsciously ignoring his content. But it's the same. That's why we do this show. So there'll be someone out there who goes, listen to those guys, and they're absolute ball bags. I'm not interested in listening to them.
100%.
But that's the point of this, and it's the point of him, is that it's all different strokes for different folks. And
well, part of what we really want to do, and I think our ultimate goal with this, is to have it where we essentially only talk about stuff that people, listeners, are asking us about, ultimately. Yeah. We want to build like a community, like a little cult.
Well, the difference between us and someone like Luke Thomas is that we are not
broadcasting news.
Yeah, and we're not claiming to be journalists at all. We have no desire to do that.
For fans, by fans.
Yeah, we have no desire to do that. This is a talk show. I mean, I think the idea of this is, hopefully if you're listening to this, doing whatever, you feel as if you could sit at this table with us and have a beer or whatever and chat shit about MMA. Yeah. It shouldn't be any different. We're not claiming to be experts. We're just two guys who bought microphones.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
But I don't feel that that's a vibe you get from Luke Thomas, which is fine because some people like...
That's not their vibe and that's not what they want.
Yeah, it's more informative. It's more highbrow discussion-based.
I think how we get him to start talking about coronavirus is to get him to get a personal Twitter where he can post whatever the fuck he wants. But see, if it's not MMA, get it off your Twitter. Like,
nah, you've said this before. He has a right to.
Yeah, he does, but not when your fucking Twitter handle is Luke Thomas News. And I know you'd be like, coronavirus is news. Yeah, predictable, but that's not what his fucking job is. He's not a news journalist for coronavirus. He's a news journalist for MMA. So don't post coronavirus shit.
Yeah, but if, like, I have my own Twitter, which, in fairness, I don't use, but if I was, I wouldn't just have to post things I work on.
No, that's true. That's true, but
I think we might need to mute him for your blood pressure.
Yeah, that'll be good. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. So the last questions that we're going to talk about now is Ewan Lavender, who's at Lavender MMA, a while back tweeted about rice cakes, snack jacks, and things like that, and then it turned into talk about biscuits and various other things. So he's tweeted saying about comparing MMA fighters to biscuits. We have gone all out. We have...
Ooh,
a multi-packet, 28 biscuits of 10 varieties, right? And what we'll do is we'll read his example of what he means that we should do, and then we will label all of these 10 biscuits an MMA fighter. We will
top
give them all
quality. Oh, look at the party rings. They're white.
My goodness.
I've never seen a white party ring.
I have. Okay. Yeah, they do usually come in white, but...
I thought they're usually like purple and orange.
To those American listeners, Canadian listeners, or to... apparently, as I didn't realize we had this, our Swedish listeners, because in Sweden they call biscuits ran, and that means robbery. So yes, there you go. And that was from at John, J-O-N, Eckerwald, E-K-E-R-W-A-L-D. So
giving out the dad jokes.
Fun. So,
this is top quality radio content.
Oh, 100%. So what we're going to do is read his examples. So he said, Valentina Shevchenko, caramel shortbread. Not everyone's number one, but there's a strong case for me. There's no weaknesses, and there is so much packed into a small frame. Simply has everything. Perfect combination of flavors. Is it a biscuit? Is she human? Who knows? I dig it.
Yeah, we'll allow that.
Khabib, the digestive. As consistent as it gets. Traditional and unwavering, albeit a bit one-dimensional, but my God, it's effective, and the numbers and macros speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And his final one was... Usman, the party ring, very colourful and promises everything that you think you like. However, I've tried so hard to like them and I just can't. They're actually rather bland and full of shit. So, with that in mind, biscuits are cookies. They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like if you're American, these are different types of cookies.
Isn't there like a rule that a biscuit is twice baked or something?
No, so the definition, and there's a famous court case about this, the definition between a cake and a biscuit is if you leave a cake out, cake goes hard
and
a biscuit goes soft.
Yeah,
because there's different tacks, and it was Jaffa cakes.
Yeah, but there must be some official way.
I think that is the official way.
Well, I mean, that could apply to lots of things. Some things go hard, some things go soft. I think
that's a biscuit.
Yeah, I think
that
has to be more technical first definition. One. I'm going to, just while we're here, what we've got here.
This is a Fox's cream. So this is like two oat cookies with some cream in the middle of it. Right, I'm going to have to take a bite.
Yep.
Top quality entertainment for all of you. Yeah. Really going above and beyond. Do you have any idea how many biscuits I'm about to eat? My diabetes is going to go through the fucking roof. Right.
I feel like we need to talk. This is too much eating time.
We should probably take it in turns to eat. So, who's going to get the Fox's Cream?
Hmm.
That's a good question. Fox's Cream. Well, I like it. So, there's first of all, I like it. So, it's going to be a fighter I like. I'm feeling... It's quite a hearty biscuit. It's substantial. Do you know what it is? It's Ryan Bader. Good farmhouse type biscuit.
Farmhouse. Oh no, see that's more like a hobnob or something.
Well, that is it. That's a hobnob with a cream filling.
No, hobnob's odier.
Who do you think it is then?
I don't know. This is this is scraping the bottom of the barrel.
That's the most ridiculous thing we've ever done. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know. You are a... No.
You can't even think of a fighter, can you?
No, I can't. It's really quite difficult.
It's not that difficult. I just pulled Ryan Bader out.
I know.
The hearty biscuit.
Fine, we'll give Ryan Bader.
Ryan Bader is a Fox's Cream Crunch.
Which will mean... nothing to 80% of these listeners.
No, probably not. Custard cream.
Which is remarkably similar. It's
Well, custard cream. Marlon Moraes, he can be a custard cream. Because it's small, compact, but a powerful biscuit.
Seconded.
Sweet. There we go. This is easy. Right. So what else have we got? We have... Oh, it's like it's like the opposite of the cream. It's like an inside-out cream. It is a chocolate cream.
Chocolate cream.
Well...
I'm going... DC.
Gotta be careful with it. We got literally gotta be careful. I'm going DC. Yeah,
I know because
just because he's like family friendly, chocolatey. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, this is a dangerous game because he's round and brown.
Okay, I can get on board with that.
Compact. We'll go with some of the words you were using. Compact packs a punch.
The party ring, which is literally
plus everyone loves the chocolate cream.
That's true. Party ring, which is literally just like an iced biscuit. So it's like a...
They are very ridiculously sweet.
Yeah. Colby.
Why so?
Literally the name. Party ring.
Party ring.
Because underneath all that, like see all the party rings are like, they look tie-dyed almost on the top of the icing, right? That's all the bravado. But underneath it all. It's just a solid biscuit. It's Colby. It's 100% Colby. Well, who do you think a party ring is, though?
I don't know. Like, someone with a bit more flamboyant personality.
Johnny Walker is a party ring.
Johnny Walker is a party ring.
Johnny Walker's a party ring.
Especially with that new hair.
We have a traditional cookie.
Yeah, chocolate chip.
It's got to be Stipe. It's the good, honest, hard-working... cookie.
American cookie.
Yeah, because that is literally an American cookie. It's got to be. It's got to be a cookie.
Or it's like Chris Weidman.
Yeah, like the All-American
wrestler.
Yeah.
Is
I can get on board with that. We have a milk chocolate digestive, which is like an oat biscuit with chocolate.
So based if Habib is a plain digestive, what's a chocolate digestive? An upgraded one? It's hard to say.
No, it's like... He's quite callous, so it's like
a softer version of Habib. Sweeter?
Yeah, like someone that's just a little bit...
Hmm.
It's like Randy Couture.
Nah, he's an old wrinkly biscuit.
Like this one?
Yeah, that biscuit does not look in good shape. Yeah, he is. Randy Couture is that biscuit.
Yeah, if Randy Couture is this biscuit, it's whatever this is.
Oat cookie?
Oat cookie, yeah. Then we have this jammy one. The jammy one's going to be a tough one to call.
Yeah. I don't know who's a chocolate digestive.
It might be Henry Cejudo. Something childlike about Henry Cejudo, not just in stature. And the chocolate is like, if you give a kid a digestive, they're like, what the fuck is this? Give them a chocolate digestive, all of a sudden they're all over it.
Yeah, I'll give that up.
Henry Cejudo's a chocolate digestive, and we only have two more really. We'll only do two more, I think.
Yeah,
we have this thing. I don't even know what this is. No. It's like two chocolate fingers or some sort of like icing in the middle.
This packet of biscuits is very heavy on the icing. I feel like most of them have icing in them.
I've never even seen one of these before.
No, neither have I.
I don't know who that's going to be.
So it's going to be an Ngannou.
Well, you very rarely
I've never
see
seen
it.
Anyone like Ngannou before.
Yeah, okay. I can get on board with that. I'd have expected something a bit more dense for Ngannou. I was going to think someone who was inactive.
For that biscuit looks inactive.
Well, no, because you never see it that often.
Hmm.
I was thinking someone that doesn't fight enough. But I can get on board with Ngannou because I see your logic if I've never seen a biscuit like that before. And John Jones is the bourbon.
He is.
100% the bourbon. And here's my logic. The bourbon, if to those who don't know what it is, it's two chocolate biscuits
also
with chocolate icing in the middle. Everyone, for some reason, in the UK...
They shit on these biscuits.
They shit on them. But when you actually have one, they're fucking delicious. I would never buy them.
No.
But, as part of a multi-pack, but like, you're never going to be like, do you know what, I want an entire packet of bourbons.
Yeah.
But, ultimately, they're the fucking best. And deep down, everyone knows it, even though you fucking say you hate them.
Yeah, people really do claim, they're like, shit.
Fuck bourbons. They're basically saying, fuck John Jones.
But he's the best.
But he is the best, and you know it, and that's why you hate the bourbon, because you're scared.
You're scared.
There's no other biscuits as good as it, really, but you don't want to admit that.
Yeah.
That is my case for John Jones being the bourbon.
And we will be accepting awards for this segment at some point, I'm sure. So
people are either going to love or hate the fact that we've done this.
I feel kind of dirty after that. It just didn't sit right.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just because we actually did something for a change instead of just talking.
I don't know.
Well, at Red White Gunner, Red White _ Gunner said... He tried some Easter-style Malteser biscuit thing today, and it was massively disappointing. Twix or Penguin Bar for the win?
Twix is, I think I replied to this, an all-timer.
Penguin, low-key all-timer too. Has a joke in the back.
Does. Do you remember Mint Penguins?
Fuck, they were the shit. Yes, they were. And then I remember the disappointment.
Orange Penguins?
They were okay, but I remember the disappointment when you got a green Penguin... The next time around, you were like, mint penguin. And then it's normal. Penguins, to those who don't know, what would a penguin be like in America? I'm nearly sure they have a biscuit that is the same. Biscuits. US.
Maybe they just have penguins.
Maybe they do. No, because it's McVitie's.
Oh, is it?
So, let's see.
Hmm.
I don't know. Keep going.
Chocolate cookie, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. It's more like a. Yeah, I suppose it would be.
It's
like
a small bar shape.
Yeah. Do they have penguin chocolate bars in? Yes.
Google will tell us. I'm going to say no. This seems like a very British thing.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. But basically, you always had them in your school's lunches. Was that or a wagon wheel?
Yeah, they're definitely a school lunch thing.
Fuck wagon wheels, though.
What?
Yeah, they're salty, mate. There's like a savory. Get the fuck out of here with that. No,
it's the marshmallow in them.
No, that's not a standard wagon wheel, is it?
Yeah, standard ones.
Oh, I'm thinking of the jammy ones that weren't the standard ones.
The jam in the jammy wagon wheels was
questionable.
There's something all about
red goop.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that we're nearly. Yeah, penguin bar. Yeah, that was it. So I think we've nearly done all the questions now. So Ewan said, it would be great to get US versions from your listeners too, and we agree. So tweet them at us. What are your chocolate bars that are like candy bars or candy savory?
Well, it's cookies, isn't it?
Yeah, cookies or candy bars that are like fighters.
Variants.
Tweet them at us. But he said, what the fuck is a milk dud? Well, I've had milk duds, so I know the answer to that. They're like little caramel goobers. They're a bit like resin.
Everything... I don't know why, but it must have been from movies. There's not just piles of nipple jokes with them.
Yeah, well, I think they call nipples milk duds. It'd be like, it's like smuggling two milk duds.
Yeah. Are they nipple-shaped?
Kind of. They're like just
wear them
tiny
as comical
little, like,
nipples.
Well, they probably melt and be very unpleasant.
Yeah, I'm not talking about wearing them long term.
Technically could.
I think after this week, though, I think biscuit section needs retired. Let's move on to a different food group.
Yeah, pizza time.
It's pizza, pizza time. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, we've just had very little news this week, and why not? Plus, it was an excuse to buy loads of biscuits.
It's true.
Probably scoff those the second we're off air.
In these end times.
This is true. It was hard to find all those biscuits and end of days.
The shelves were pretty empty.
They really are. The shelves out there are super empty. It's depressing. Mm. But if you've enjoyed the show, please make sure to give us your cold hard dollars at patreon.com/superadmma. But you're under no obligation to do that.
No, actually, no, you are.
You can do things for free that help. Like,
we should have put an audio contract in this, that if you've listened this far, technically you do owe us.
We need to recoup that biscuit money.
Exactly. Yeah. This show is not cheap. Do you know how much biscuits cost?
I do, actually. We paid the sultry fee of £1.49 for all those biscuits. Tax write-off!
Exactly. We will be having more Patreon-exclusive content coming soon. So
just once the numbers grow a bit on Patreon, yeah, we'll look at that.
Well, I'm sure while the world has ground to a halt over this next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll probably look at that next week. Like we said, probably not going to be a whole lot of MMA to talk about, so we'll put up some topics and you lovely people can vote on them. That'll be on. We'll put it on Twitter and on Facebook.
We'll try to keep it non-food related this time.
Yeah.
Unless it has to be. Maybe, but we did, to be fair, we did put up a tweet last night saying we were, ask questions as ridiculous as, whatever. It didn't have to be MMA related, so
I feel like this is what we get. This is a primarily MMA show, but we'll talk about anything.
We'll talk about anything at all. But the best thing that you can do to help us out, which is free, my friend, is share, subscribe, tag your friends, post on Facebook, anything like that. It really, really helps us out to get the show there. Thank you so much, because last week was the biggest podcast we've ever had. Big thanks to Curtis Blade for joining us last week. Big thanks to Josh Emmett for joining us this week. We hopefully have a guest for next week, but we haven't actually been able to confirm that yet because he may or may not have just fought.
So we'll keep that on the hush-hush.
So we'll keep that in the DL until we know more. But in the meantime, thank you very much for checking out the Super Rad MMA show, and we will see you next week. Peace.